Will you please turn to Romans chapter 12? Romans chapter 12. We'll read from verse 4 through verse 8. For as in one body we have many members, but all the members have not the same office or the same function. Thus we, being many, are one body in Christ, and each one members one of the other. But having different gifts according to the grace which has been given to us, whether it be prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or service, let us occupy ourselves in service. Or he that teaches, in teaching. Or he that exhorts, in exhortation. He that gives, in simplicity. He that leads, with diligence. He that shows mercy, with cheerfulness. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll begin with verse 1 through verse 7. But concerning spiritual manifestations, brethren, I do not wish you to be ignorant. Ye know that when ye were of the nations, ye were led away to dumb idols, in whatever way ye might be led. I give you therefore to know that no one speaking in the power of the Spirit of God says, curse on Jesus. And no one can say, Lord Jesus, unless in the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 4. But there are distinctions of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are distinctions of services, and the same Lord. And there are distinctions of operations, but the same God who operates all things in all. But to each, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for profit. And finally, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. But holding the truth in love, we may grow up to him in all things, who is the head, the Christ, from whom the whole body, fitted together and connected by every joint of supply, according to the working in its measure of each one part, works for itself the increase of the body to itself building up in love. Let us have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to Thee in the name of our Lord Jesus, we know that we are standing on holy ground. We know that we are in Thy presence. We know that Thou art here with us. We ask Thee to speak to us through Thy written word. We pray that Thy word will truly be Spirit and life to us, that Thou mayst be glorified. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Last night we shared together on this matter of body life. We know that the will of God concerning His people is corporate, more than individuals. Oftentimes, we put too much emphasis on our personal, individual needs, instead of seeing that in the will of God, it is always corporate. He needs a corporate body to contain all the riches of Christ and to manifest the glory of Christ. No individual is able to do that. It requires a corporate body. We mention also, so far as our calling is concerned, we are called together with one calling. We are called to be the body of Christ, the fullness of Him who fills all and in all. And so far as the work of God in Christ Jesus concerning us, it is also corporate, because we receive one life, and having that one life, we share together in that one body. We mentioned the reason why people fail to see the corporateness of one body. It is because we put too much emphasis on our own selves. But if we present our bodies a living sacrifice, then you will find our mind is renewed by the Holy Spirit, and we begin to prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And we find that the will of God is that we, being many, are one body, and we are members one of another. Now, how do we live in that body? How do we live the body life? And we mentioned last night that according to Romans chapter 12, from verse 9 on, we find that to live a body life is to live a life of love. It is to live a life of interdependence, relatedness, preferring one to the other, and also to have a humble mind, a lowly mind, esteeming the others as more excellent than ourselves. It is to live a life of perseverance, endurance, persevere with one another, and also to serve one another, and to overcome all evil with good. So that's what we mentioned last night. Now this morning we would like to continue on with body function. You know, if a body is living, it must be a functioning body. When a body ceases to function, it is dead. It becomes a corpse. If a body does not function properly, if any member in that body does not function, then you'll find that body is sick. So when that body is healthy, you find that every member of the body functions. And not only function, but function together, coordinately. If one member should function independently, you know something's wrong with the body. So a healthy body requires that all the members of the body function, and function together under the direction of the head. Now this is true with our physical body. Now if it is true with our physical body, how much more true it is with the spiritual body of Christ. Now sometimes we think the scripture uses the body of Christ. We think that it is just a kind of metaphor. But it is not. When the scripture used the body of Christ, the church, the body of Christ, the fullness of Him who fills all and in all, it is not a metaphor. It is a reality. To put it another way, the reality of the body of Christ is even more real than your physical, personal body. Why? Because this physical, personal body will die one day. And as a matter of fact, Every 7 years, your body changes completely. All the cells of your body change every 7 years. So you have a different body every 7 years. And eventually that body will die. But the body of Christ never dies. The body of Christ remains to eternity. So dear brothers and sisters, we are called into that one body of Christ, under that one head, Christ. That is eternal. Therefore, it is a spiritual reality, more real than our physical body. Now, if this is the case, then you'll find for that body of Christ to be a living body, it must be a functioning body. If that body is not functioning, then it is not a body. It becomes a dead organization. For the church to be a living body, all the members of the body must function. Not just a few of the members are functioning, and the rest of the body are paralyzed. Nor is it that one or some members function independently. But you find that all the members, living members of the body of Christ, must all function together, coordinately, under the direction of the head, our Lord Jesus. Then this body is a healthy body. And this body is built up. And this body will grow. So, brothers and sisters, it is a spiritual fact that every member of the body of Christ must function for the building up of that body. Now, unfortunately, what we find today is just the opposite. We find today that among a group of believers, wherever they may be, the norm actually is abnormal. The norm is you find only a few members are functioning. The rest are there to be served. The rest are there as spectators to be entertained. And only a few are functioning. Maybe one, maybe more than one, but it's always the minority, the few that are functioning, while all the rest are not functioning. And because of this, you find the church does not grow as it should. And the church is not in a healthy situation. Many who have one talent buried their talents. And that is the problem with us today. So we need to go back to the Word of God. And if you go back to the Word of God, you'll find, for instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he said concerning spiritual manifestations. First of all, we need to recognize that Jesus is Lord. If we do not hold fast the head, the members will not be fitted together. We will be scattered. We may gather together. But even though we are gathered together physically, we are still scattered spiritually. We are not really organically joined together. For us to be organically joined together as members of one body, the basic requirement is hold fast the head. Every member must hold fast the head. If any member does not hold fast the head, he dismember the body. So I think that is a basic understanding every one of us must have. Now, why do we need to present our bodies as a living sacrifice? To present our bodies as a living sacrifice is to acknowledge that Christ is the head. Instead of ourselves being the head of our own body and using it as we wish. When you present your bodies a living sacrifice, you acknowledge that you are no longer your own head. You allow Christ to be your head, to use this body of yours. So, basically, brothers and sisters, the most important thing is we need every one of us, we need to let Christ be our head. And as we allow Christ to be our head, and we all hold fast the head, then you'll find all the members of the body will be fitted together and joined together. And that begins the functioning. You know, one reason why we are not functioning, or we are not functioning properly, we are not functioning coordinately, is because we do not hold fast the head. I do not know how to emphasize it as it should. I cannot overemphasize it, because unless every brother and sister acknowledge in their heart that Christ is the head, and instead of trying to be head yourself, there is no hope of functioning properly in the body of Christ. Everyone, it is the responsibility of every brother and sister, every member in the body of Christ. We have to let Christ be our head. And then you find we will be fitted together and we are able to function properly as members of the body of Christ. So in the beginning, in chapter 12, you find concerning spiritual manifestations, concerning spiritual functions. How do we function in the body of Christ? The first of all is, you have to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. Not just saying it, but it is real in your life. And then following it, you find the Apostle Paul tells us. He said, but there are distinctions of gifts for the same Spirit. There are distinctions of services and the same Lord. And there are distinctions of operation for the same God who operates all things in all. In the body, you have distinctions. In other words, it is one body, but many members. We mentioned last night, what God desires is not a lump of meat. There are no distinctions. Not many members. It's just one lump. That's all. Now, that is not the desire of the Lord. You find the desire of the Lord is a body. Now, if it is a body, it is one and yet many. Many, but one. It is unity in diversity. It is not unity in uniformity. If it's unity in uniformity, it is a lump of meat. But a body is unity in diversity. So here you find a body with many members. And all the members are distinctive. All the members are important. They are different, but they are needed. And it is the same God, but distinctions of operations or distinctions of working. Why? Because you find that it is God who sets all the members in the body. Now, you do not choose to be what member in the body of Christ. Just like this physical body, my members of this physical body does not choose what member he wants to be in this body. So you find it is God who sets every one in the body of Christ as a distinctive member. Unfortunately, that is not our idea. You know, we always want to be that member instead of this member. We always are not satisfied with being this member that God has set in the body. We always want to be the other member. We think that other member is greater, more glorious, more honorable. But brothers and sisters, we need to recognize that it is God who sets every member in the body of Christ. There is no choice. He does not leave it with you to decide what member you want to be. The ear cannot say to the eye, because I'm not the eye, I do not belong to the body. Well, the eye is at the front and the ear is a little bit back. So everybody wants to be at the front and not at the back. But if the ear said, because I'm not the eye, I do not belong to the body, he still belongs to the body. God has put him there. So I think, first of all, let us be contented with whatever place the Lord has put us in the body of Christ. Let us be happy about it. Do not murmur about it. Be contented. Because this is the will of God. And every member in the body is important. There is no member higher than the other member. No member more valuable than the other member. Every member in the body of Christ are equally valuable to the body and to the head. The hand cannot say to the foot, I do not need you. I'm higher up, you are lower down. I do not need you. No, the hand needs the foot. In other words, you find that God sets us each in the body of Christ to be a distinctive member. And we need to accept that. If we accept that, then you'll find God will work in our lives to fulfill the meaning of being that particular member. Now, if you do not accept what God has placed, where God has placed you, then you are not able to work out that function which God has appointed for you, because God does not work in you. Put it another way. Suppose you are the ear, and God wants to do to hear for the body, but you refuse to be an ear. You want to be the eye. Now you try to see, but can you see? God does not work. And on the contrary, because you try to see, and you pretend that you see, now what you see is wrong. And you will lead the body into error. And also, because you want to see, you do not allow the eye to see. You hinder the eye from seeing. So you find you throw confusion into the body of Christ. And that's what we find today among God's people. Because we do not want to be what we are. We want to be what the other person is. So first of all, dear brothers and sisters, we need to clearly see that it is God who has set us as a distinctive member in the body of Christ. And you are the only one. Nobody else can be that member. You are so precious to the Lord. The only one there. Whether it is a small finger, you are needed. And you are the only one that God has set you there. And be contented, happy with it. And try thee to be what the Lord has wanted you to be. And not try to be somebody else. Distinctions of operations, but the same God. God is one. It is the same God who is working through every member to fulfill his function. And then he said there are distinctions of services, but the same Lord. We are put in the body of Christ as distinctive members. Why? For service. To minister. Every member in the body of Christ has a distinctive ministry. Nobody else can do it for you. And we are all serving the same Lord. Whatever your service may be, you are serving the Lord by serving the body. Sometimes, you know, well, as a matter of fact, probably most believers think that they do not have a ministry. They look to a few people, say they have ministries or services, but we don't. Now that is a misunderstanding. It is a misunderstanding of Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, you do find that our risen Lord, for his great love for his body, he gives certain people as his gifts to the church. So in Ephesians chapter 4, we are told that the risen Lord gave to the church some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, or shepherds and teachers. Now, these men are called by God to a ministry. This is what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Having this ministry. Now, what is this ministry? This ministry is the ministry of the Word. Whether you are apostles, whether you are prophets, whether you are evangelists, whether you are pastors and teachers, they are all related to the ministry of the Word. Because it is the Word of God that builds the body. And God, the Lord, the head, gives certain people to the church for that ministry. But what is the purpose of that ministry? The purpose of that ministry is for the perfecting of the saints, or for the maturing of the saints, or for the equipping of the saints. Now that is this ministry that Paul is talking about. Now today, we put too much emphasis on this ministry. And this ministry, it is true. Only a few. Not all. God has not called everybody to be apostles. You remember Paul said, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? No. You find that God calls some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for this ministry. And this ministry is a ministry that works upon the body to perfect the saints, to bring the saints into maturity, to equip them. Why? Because when the saints are maturing and they are being equipped, then they can function as members of the body of Christ. So, Ephesians 4 continues that, for the perfecting of the saints with a view to the work of the ministry. Now, the ministry is a different from this ministry. This ministry includes those four classes of people. And the ministry includes all the members of the body of Christ. This ministry works upon the body. But the ministry comes out of the body. This ministry builds the body indirectly by building up the saints. But the ministry built up the body, self-building in love. Unfortunately, you know, people confuse these two ministries. And in Christianity, you find that we put all the emphasis on this ministry and forget altogether the ministry. Now, what is the ministry? The ministry is the body ministry. Those who understand Greek tells us, when you come to Ephesians 4, verse 12, with a view to the work of the ministry, with a view to the edifying of the body of Christ. Now those who are scholars in Greek and who understand the word, they tell us the ministry here does not refer to the ministry of the four classes of people you find in verse 11, but rather it refers to the body ministry. And when the saints are matured, when the saints are equipped, then they begin to function. And you'll find that every member has a distinctive ministry to contribute to the building up of the body of Christ. No other member can substitute you. If you do not function and contribute your part of ministry, then something is lacking in the body of Christ. So, dear brothers and sisters, every member of the body of Christ must function. Every member has a distinctive ministry. It's yours. And with this, you serve the Lord. A call, of course, in proportion of faith, in the measure that God has given to you. But the same Lord. You are serving the same Lord. Then thirdly, you find there are distinctions of gifts, but the same Spirit. God has set us in the body as a distinctive member. And that distinctive member has a distinctive service to fulfill. But how are you going to fulfill that service? Well, the Holy Spirit, according to His pleasure, He gives gifts to each member. And you'll find that every gift is distinctive. If God sets you in the body as the eye, your service is to see. But how can you see? God gives you the ability, the gift of seeing. Can you imagine that God puts you in the body of Christ as a distinctive member, and you have a service to fulfill? And He does not give you the gift to fulfill it? Now, many believers think they have no gift. But that's not true. Some may be given 5 talents. Some may be given 2 talents. But all, at least, have 1 talent. God will be unreasonable if He puts you in the body of Christ as a member and you have a ministry to fulfill and He does not supply the need. God will never do that. Dear brothers and sisters, according to what God has set you in the body, according to what the Lord desires for your service, the Holy Spirit will give you the corresponding spiritual gifts to fulfill it. Gifts are distinctive. What you have in 1 Corinthians 12, in Romans 12, in 1 Peter 4, these are just illustrative, not exhaustive. Do not think that gifts have only 9 kinds, as you find in 1 Corinthians 12. You'll find that these are just illustrative, not exhaustive. Think of the member of the body. In a body you have so many members, only 9 gifts. For all the distinctive members of the body of Christ? Certainly not. So, brothers and sisters, our problem is we confine our concept to only 9 gifts. And you say, well, I don't have this gift, I don't have that gift, therefore I have no gift. Not so. Not so. Gifts are distinctive, but every gift is important. And what God requires is faithfulness. If God gave you 5 talents, God requires that you earn another 5. If God gave you 2 talents, God requires you earn another 2. If God gives you 1 talent, He requires you earn another talent. That's all He requires. He does not require the 1 talent to earn 5 talents. As a matter of fact, the more He gave, the more He requires. It's equal. So do not despise the gift that God has given to you. You need to use that gift to serve the Lord. Now again, there is a difference between natural talent and spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are manifestations of the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit within us. He is the Comforter, the Paracletos. He is there to take charge, to be responsible, to conform us to the image of Christ, the beloved Son of God. And He manifests Himself through these gifts. So spiritual gifts are the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. In other words, it is not your natural talent. When we are born, God endows us with natural talents. And we know that everyone is born with certain talents, and these talents are different. Very different. And with these natural talents, we are able to live in this world and be successful in the part that we are to play in this world. Now here we are in the body of Christ. Now in the body of Christ, how are we to be successful in fulfilling our mission, our service? He gave us spiritual gifts. It comes from the Holy Spirit. It is not the Holy Spirit Himself. Not the person of the Holy Spirit. Gifts are not the person of the Holy Spirit. The person of the Holy Spirit dwells in us. And to that person, you need to obey. But the gifts of the Holy Spirit are His manifestations. And the manifestations obeys the person who exercises that gifts. You know, there is a difference there. You read 1 Corinthians 14, you know. The indwelling Holy Spirit is the person of the Holy Spirit. You have to honor Him. Obey Him. He is God. You are under His direction. But the gifts that He has given to you is impersonal. It's His manifestations. And after it's given to you, you are to use it according to God's will. It is subjected to you. You are responsible for it. Don't abuse it. Use it for the glory of God, for the building up of the body of Christ. Natural talents are needed for the natural man. Spiritual gifts are needed for that spiritual man. God does not need our natural talents in His service. Does it mean that natural talents are absolutely useless to God? He gave it in the first place. But because it is so contaminated by sin, and it is being used by the natural man, therefore you'll find it does not serve God's purpose. It actually gives him disservice. You can illustrate it. Moses, with the natural talents that God had given him, mighty in words and mighty in deeds. But when he tried to serve God with his natural talents, it's a complete failure. God allows him to fail. Thank God for that. And only after his natural talents have gone to death, after 40 years in the wilderness, you cannot exercise your eloquence with these dumb sheep. So after 40 years, he lost his eloquence. He lost his might. He could kill an Egyptian. But if you try to use that to shepherd the sheep, now all the sheep will be dead. His natural talent had to go to death. And then God called him. But you find it is not Moses who were educated in the Egyptian palace for 40 years and learned all the learnings of Egypt. Can you imagine a person to lead such a multitude? And it's a very difficult multitude too. Through the wilderness for 40 years. No doubt, his natural talents were used by God. But remember, it is through death and resurrection. No longer in his hand, it is in God's hand. Now, sometimes our natural talents coincide with spiritual gifts. Sometimes they are just the opposite. Some people who are stuttering and who cannot speak, God called them to be a prophet. Give them spiritual gift of prophesying. Other people who are naturally eloquent, and when they try after they are saved to use their eloquence to serve the Lord, you find it's a total failure. God moves in a mysterious way. Wonders to perform. But sometimes God does use people who naturally are eloquent, but you find God has to deal with that natural eloquence. Bring it to death before it can be used. And sometimes he never used them. Never used them. So spiritual gifts are given by the Holy Spirit. And with the spiritual gifts, you can serve and fulfill your function. To be very practical, some people ask the question, how do I know I am that distinctive member of the body? How do I know I'm an ear? How do I know I'm an eye? How do I know I'm a hand? I'm a foot? Or I'm a heart. How do I know? How do I know that I have this gift or that gift? How do I know? Brothers and sisters, you don't need to be bothered about that. This will come out supernaturally, naturally. Does your eye ever worry? What am I in this body? What is my gift? Never. Now, it is true, when a baby is born, he has an eye. God has set it in that body. He has a function to perform eventually. And he is given the gift of seeing, but when a baby is first born, can he see? He may not be able to see. It may take a little while to see. You are the hand, but you don't know you are the hand. And you are not able to hold anything. You have to be held. But gradually, when your life begins to mature a little bit, you find you begin to discover what member you are and what gift you have. Am I right? So what you need is growing. That's what you need. And that's the reason why God sent these people to mature you. They are not to substitute, to do the work for you. You are to do the work, but they are to help you maturing. So don't worry, don't be anxious, be patient. You know, don't try to ask the question, what member of the body am I, or what is my gift? Don't ask these questions, but grow in Christ. Drink milk and grow. As you grow, naturally, you find these things begin to appear. The Lord will give you a burden. The Lord will begin to open your eyes to see there is some need here. And He gives you the burden to fulfill that need. And you try to do it. And when you do it, the anointing of the Lord is with you. And the other members are being helped. Then gradually, through exercising, that gift is manifested. So, brothers and sisters, it takes a little time. But be faithful. Be faithful. My time is up. Just a few more words. So far as the ministries of the body are concerned, there are actually two different kinds. If you read Romans 12 or 1 Peter 4, you find there are two different kinds. One kind is what we will say more in relation with the word. Whether you are prophesying according to the proportion of faith, whether you are teaching according to the proportion of faith, or exhorting. Now these are in relation with the word. The body of Christ needs the word to feed them. And not only those that God sent to them, but out of the body, there will be brothers who can prophesy or who can teach, who can exhort. You know, that is one area. And the sisters too. And then you'll find there's another area for the building of the body of Christ. We will call it more in the term of a service. In other words, serving. You know, lead. Those who lead with diligence, give in simplicity, and so forth. In other words, practical services. So, most of the ministry in the body of Christ are of these two kinds. And whatever God may give to each, let us learn to be faithful. And dear brothers and sisters, when you see all the members of the body of Christ begin to function, and function under the headship of Christ, and function together, you see the beauty of the body. And you see that body is building up in love. So may the Lord help us. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, do open our eyes to see that Thou hast set us in the body as a distinctive member, that we have a service to fulfill, and do not allow us to despise the gift that Thou hast given us, but teach us how to exercise our gift under the headship of Christ and exercise our gift in coordination with our brothers and sisters, that the body may build up in love. And to thee be the glory, in the name of our Lord Jesus.